This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back. This is the morning run on BFM 89.9 and it's 18 minutes past 7. In about half an hour, we'll talk to Achim Schmillen, Senior Economist of Social Protection and Labour at the World Bank. On, of course, the discussion will be on Malaysia's fiscal policies. But in the meantime, let's talk about working from home. It's a big thing now. Prominent tech companies like Twitter, Facebook are allowing their guys to work remotely. And in Malaysia, PNB as well was leading the way on that front.
Yeah. So it looks like the Malaysian government actually is encouraging this, right? So to facilitate this large-scale transition as part of the Penjana Economic Stimulus Package, tax exemptions for companies that implement policies on flexible work arrangements were announced. But I think what is not clear is details, because we don't know what counts for flexible work arrangements, and that information hasn't yet been released by Inland Revenue.
Just as well, then, we've got on the line with us Siti Aisha Tumin, a research associate at Khazanah Research Institute, to help us dissect whether the COVID-19 and the Penjana package will usher in a new normal for all Malaysian companies and from working from home. Siti, thank you for talking to us. Under Penjana, there will be a tax exemption of up to 5,000 ringgit for tech equipment that will help workers adjust to remote work. But of course, such equipment is not cheap and not many companies will be able to take on that cost. What else do you think can be done?
Hi guys, firstly, thank you for having me. I think, yes, the observation I think is on point in the sense that, you know, tax exemption might not be enough. But I also think if you look at the Penjana package as a whole, actually there are also other opportunities for firms to assist them, their digitalization, such that they can allow flexible work arrangements. So, you know, you have a very active encouragement by the government to assist digitalization, especially for SMEs. We have things like matching grants, you know, technology transformation fund, some smart automation grants. So I think even the comment on having, you know, the limited capacity of just tax incentives, I think it's timely for businesses to kind of also combine this with existing grants and funds that exist in the Penjana stimulus. But also, I think from previous rounds of stimulus, the government have provided these incentives to help businesses. So I think the next step is really for companies to look at all these opportunities and figure out what's their best strategy to help you know, flexible work arrangements for their worker, if that's something they want to do.
But, you know, companies are always driven by bottom line, right? So if, aside from the reduction in office rental costs, what other benefits can a company derive from pursuing a work from home strategy? Because some would say that the current practice of allowing their employees to work from home is just good business contingency planning until a vaccine is found for COVID-19.
Yeah, I think that's a fair observation. But I think the biggest benefit here is actually the ability to protect your workers, you know, from getting infected because of, you know, they have to travel for work, for instance, and be in a confined space where, you know, the likelihood of you getting the virus is a bit higher than if, say, you are not in such confined or packed spaces. And even with, you know, existing SOPs, we see that, you know, perhaps when the economy opened up a bit, how we you know, implement those SOPs, you know, might not be as stringent as it used to be a couple of months ago. And that said, I think the ability to protect worker safety is quite fundamental. Other benefits that I can think of is actually as businesses move into all these new ways of doing things, you know, being able to digitize and be on digital platform, I think when businesses shift to those areas, it's really important also to be able to kind of bring your workers and upskill your workers to be able to do their work in a new way. And I think it's a good opportunity actually for businesses to think about how do I upskill workers in these areas. And, you know, indirectly, you actually help contribute to the human capital development of workers. And fair enough, yes, and all of this is not free and they are costly, but I think if we try to look at workers' development and how they can contribute to the growth of your business and treat it like an investment in itself, you know, it's not just about profit, loss, costs and the returns, but also seeing it as an investment, I think that it's fair to kind of think of training your workers and allowing them to grow with you as part of how you want to do your business.
Yeah, Siti, that's a good point. But the thing is, we tend to romanticize sometimes working from home, but that's not always a conducive environment. For example, if you have infant children, what other solutions might be on offer?
Exactly. And I think what we've discussed and what the government has kind of incentivized is actually just probably the first basic layer of allowing a more flexible work arrangement. And that is things like hardwares and technology capabilities. I think working from home, the other constraints are also in terms of making sure whether workers have the right conducive environment. And sometimes these are the things outside of employers' control. You know, my house might be smaller than yours and I don't have a dedicated space to work from home comfortably. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, every business need to kind of look at their workers more than just workers in the company, but also, you know, these are people with sometimes vastly different life circumstances. And that's why I think we congregate at the workplace to begin with, because being at one place, you know, everyone in one premise, it's the most cost-effective way for the business to provide a basic, comfortable environment for workers to work. So it's the kind of home environment that is outside the control of employers. And that's why I think even with all this, you know, focus that we have on working from home, actually, in reality, I personally suspect that it's quite a costly thing for businesses to kind of tailor to individual needs. And in fact, some nature of work itself probably won't allow you to work from home. And work from home is definitely only possible for certain jobs and certain sectors. And unfortunately, I think most of our workers in the country don't have that sort of access.
And for those who are lucky enough to be able to work from home and their jobs allow it, do we know anything about their productivity and output? Is it higher when they are working from home or is it higher in the office?
So actually, I'm not familiar if there is any study related to Malaysia. I only know that elsewhere in advanced countries, in China, for example, there has been some studies that show when workers work from home, they actually tend to be more productive and their performance tend to be higher. But I think it's important to kind of identify why this is the case, because the high productivity and output is generally overwhelmingly because you work longer hours at home. And why you are able to work longer hours to begin with, a lot of workers report, you know, they can spend less time on commuting, for example, so they can dedicate more time to work. They face less disruption that usually they face at the office, you know, things like you actually have to go through very long meetings or you get disrupted by your colleagues, at your bosses, and etc. There is also the ability for you to kind of flexibly, you know, work and also fit how that work life into your other responsibilities. So having time autonomy and allowing people the option to flexibly choose how they work and live their life, apparently, you know, in some studies have shown that they are able to work longer hours. But I also think, you know, let's not romanticize this too much. The next step is to ask whether, you know, if people are working longer hours, is that a decent thing for the workers' well-being, for example? And I think COVID-19 has a very specific context in the sense that, you know, you not only just worry about working when you are working from home, but you also have to worry about, say, for example, the safety of your family, or say you suddenly have to care for a sick person. Not all your children can go back to school. So it's an additional set of worries that these previous studies didn't have. And it's interesting to see, you know, further findings and research on how actually work from home affect workers in this specific context and circumstance.
All right, good points of view, Siti. Thank you for your thoughts. There are Siti Aisyah Tumin of the Khazanah Research Institute. No apt points, actually, but I'm quite glad that as a policy and as a direction, both corporates and the government are thinking about and doing this very seriously. There's obvious benefits to the corporations in terms of paying less rental, but there's also obvious ramifications to all the commercial real estate that has been popping up all over the country. And what happened happens to those there and the cost of repurposing them, if at all, or even the cost of cancellation, and then onwards to the systemic risk, potentially to the banks who have lent money to them.
Wow, you've gone so big picture, Chuang.
Well, no, because even pre-pandemic, there was a real issue with the commercial real estate oversupply, right?
Yeah, there was a glut.
For a long time, yeah.
But I think also just from an individual level, right, the reality is not everyone can work from home. Some people don't have the right home environment and some people don't like it. I'm one of those that I'm not a big fan of it because I find, and what is one of her points, you tend to overwork when you're at home because the whole day stretches out.
And well, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, then we know what you're like, Chuang. But there are also things which are lost when you're not in an office, one of which is that very important teamwork, right? And the ability to kind of just relax and chill and have a good laugh with each other. And that's all missing, you know?
Yeah, because we is social creatures after all, isn't we?
Zoom is Zoom and you can't do it so well on that for sure.
Okay, well, it's 29 minutes past 7. Don't go away. We'll come back with Ed Clissold, a chief U.S. strategist, when we talk about the U.S. presidential cycle, Trump versus Biden. That's happening after the 7:30 news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.